What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I got to tell you, the Bears got their man. They got the guy that everybody said they should pursue, that the quarterback has spoken highly of. They got a guy that has run the top offense in the NFL, and I don't know that there's a lot to be dissatisfied with. It's a pretty interesting and excellent hire at this point.
I think the Bears have got to be thrilled with their ability to get Ben Johnson to Lake Forest this morning and get the contract done and get started on a new era. You have no idea how it's going to turn out, but a process that had more names on it than any team in this cycle wound up working out just right for the Bears, like, you know, in terms of their plan. They got the guy that they coveted, and now he's got to go to work putting together a staff and kind of studying and learning the roster that he's going to be working with. But certainly I think there's plenty of room for enthusiasm as they went big and they got it.
Brad, I think there was a level of surprise that was shared by everybody yesterday when the news broke, that it came on a Monday, that it came at all. And I think you did a nice job in the Tribune this morning at ChicagoTribune.com of trying to explain exactly how this all came together. It's naive to think that there wouldn't be some sort of connection somewhere along the line. You point out that Jeff King, the director of player personnel, his agent is Rick Smith. Also, Rick Smith represents Ben Johnson, and maybe that relationship or connectivity played a role in Ben Johnson moving fast when the job was open and his season was over. Could you expand on that and maybe Jeff King's role, Rick Smith's role, and how it made it all come together for Ben Johnson and the Bears?
Well, I think that was a part of it for the Bears that helped them. Ryan Poles was the one that was leading the way. That's how the Bears explained that the process was going to work, and talking to people that were involved in different points in the last 2+ weeks, that's exactly what happened in this coaching search. I don't believe Rick Smith still represents Jeff King, but when he was a tight end in the league 8 seasons, Rick Smith served as his agent And as everyone knows, Rick represents Ben. So I think with that relationship probably enabled the Bears to get some level of trust in the agent, Rick, and in the client, Ben Johnson, as the process played out, right? Like, yep. And so that certainly probably helped the Bears, but Ben Johnson had to believe what he was being told by Ryan Poles. He had to believe what he was being told by Kevin Warren, by George McCaskey, and the Lions season ended earlier than anybody expected. That that put him in play after the game, really, really put him in play Monday morning, right? Like, you know, you got to do your exit interviews and sort of be able to process what happened in the game. But Monday morning, that thing was live, and the Bears didn't flinch in the moment.
So, Brad, we had heard increasing chatter around the NFL that he had his own personnel guy, that he wanted to have control of that through his partner in crime, and that, you know, this was going to be a real hindrance for the Bears. And we heard that that the Raiders wanted him, and that Tom Brady was violating the sanctity of the news, the press box, by commenting on the broadcast booth, by commenting on his games and secretly stealing him from the Bears. What was the reality of what was going on? Had they known they were going to hire him from the minute he interviewed? Was he the guy they had identified beforehand? And, you know, Ryan Poles got his guy despite being the general manager and the guy in the way of presumably Ben Johnson's own personnel man.
Yeah, I think some of the stuff that people thought would be these requirements or demands were probably not something that were legitimately requirements or demands for Ben Johnson. You know, we hear so much stuff that, and I think there's just way too many. There was just too much time for too many rumors to get going, and he's a guy that had been in the hiring cycle the past 2 years, and so I think people looked at it and said, well, this guy's very picky, you know, and they started potentially associating things to him that weren't necessarily the case. But Ryan Poles is the GM, wasn't a hindrance to the Bears getting the hottest candidate in this cycle. Like, you know, and what'd you hear about Ben Johnson? Well, he was going to need alignment, you know, and that's like from the top down. It's going to have to be this clear vision. Well, the Bears certainly were able to sell that, to close this deal, to get him hired as the next coach. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. Like, the jump from coordinator to head coach is one that a lot of people attempt. Some of them have remarkable success. Some of them are so-so, and some of them kind of flop. And we don't know where Ben Johnson will go. But his offensive acumen, his work as a coordinator, made him a clear candidate to get a shot for the job. And he's the guy the Bears wanted.
Brad, it's an expensive leap of faith, and I think that when you look at all the things that might have surprised us on Monday, Ben Johnson making the decision so quickly, Ben Johnson choosing the Bears and being the most sought-after head coaching candidate, the biggest surprise to me was that the Bears paid top dollar for a guy that was very expensive. He's not only was the most sought-after guy in the market, he was the most expensive guy on the market, and reports are they're paying between $12 and $13 million per season as his salary. What's your level of surprise that the Bears stepped up big time to pay a coach what his market value was?
I'm not real surprised. Like, you look at what Kevin Warren's done inside the building since he was hired, and he's got the He's got the magic words needed to get George McCaskey to spend money there. Like, you know, he's hired a small army of lieutenants around him, people likely making an awful lot of money in their roles. They've created all sorts of jobs with titles that you look at and you're really not sure what they mean. And so they've built out the staff. Like, so, and I've said it for a while, on the football side, you know, the Bears' continued lack of success, the, you know, really systemic losing hasn't been a result of them going on the cheap. And there are some people that find that difficult to believe and just want to blame that. But no, they've bought the wrong things. They haven't spent wisely. They haven't made good decisions. So that they go big in a contract for Ben Johnson when they're still going to owe Matt Eberflus money for the next two seasons, I'm not surprised here this morning. Like, that there's a price of doing business in the National Football League, and I think they understand what that price is.
Brad, there was a report out there that now that Ben Johnson is here in Chicago, that Aaron Glenn will be traveling to New York, New Jersey, wherever the Jets are, and have an in-person interview, and the Jets don't plan on letting him leave the building. In other words, there could be drastic changes going on for the Lions. There could be, who knows what's going on with Minnesota. Those were the two top teams in the division. The Packers bowed out, and the Bears beat them at the end of the year. Just wondering, how quickly can this Ben Johnson turnaround work for the Bears in the division? Do you anticipate them having a winning season a year from now? Do they have to redo the offensive line first in order to get to the kind of point production that we anticipate this could mean with Johnson coming to Chicago?
Yeah, I think we've got to tap the brakes a little bit on, you know, what this could mean in terms of wins and losses and success. Like, Dan Campbell's record there in Detroit a year and a half in was awful, right? Like, weren't the Lions like 4-20 or something? It was something right in that range. Near the middle of Dan Campbell's second season. Remember, they couldn't win a game on the road to save their lives. And so I think the roster here is better than it was for the Lions at that point. But I don't want to say that, you know, sky's the limit for them in 2025 when I think one of the issues that plagued the Chicago Bears this past season were expectations that were, you know, completely out of whack. Remember, they played pretty darn good defense for the second half of the 2023 season, and you got to the end of the year and into the offseason and said, you know, that could be a top 10 defense in 2024. Well, which I thought was, you know, attainable. Like, if they improved, they could be there. Well, that quickly shifted to everyone wanted to talk about it being a top five defense. And it's just, I think people have got to just be a little more mindful of expectations because, you know, the Bears have won an awful lot of offseason trophies in the last two decades. And those, you know, those aren't real shiny. They're not real bright. And they don't display those in the lobby at Hallis Hall.
It's a good reminder, Brad. And I think that it's sobering reality that is true and backed up by history. That said, when you look at what this could potentially mean for Caleb Williams, I think we have to back up and say, you know what, Kevin Warren was right. This was the most coveted job, but I'm not sure it was for the reasons that he expressed or articulated. I think it was the most coveted job because of the presence of Caleb Williams. To you, what does this do for his immediate future? And does it change the way that you think of him as a quarterback with his potential in terms of expectations?
I don't think it changes your expectations for Caleb Williams, because those have been high since he got here. It should be. You know, you draft a quarterback number one overall, there should be an expectation that he's gonna be a bona fide big time player. So I don't think that shifts that at all. I think you would hope that he would have an immediate impact for Caleb in terms of helping him develop and grow his game. It's going to be really interesting because Caleb and Jared Goff don't have the same strengths as quarterbacks, right? And Goff was a guy who came from the Rams, and they certainly didn't think he was the guy for them moving forward in L.A. And you looked at him in Detroit initially, and you're like, well, you know, they got a guy to kind of tide him over until they can draft their next one. Like, that, you know, and they had to do that to get the bounty of draft picks from the Rams in the Stafford deal. They got him playing at a super high level. Like right now, the past couple of years, you'd rather have Goff as your quarterback than Caleb Williams or whoever else the Bears were rolling out there. So there's ground to close there. But I would expect he could have a big impact with Caleb in the first season, especially if they can, do some work for the players around him. Like, they got to build up the offensive line a little bit, right?
Right. I'm curious, he ran, I think it's 40% play action, and the Bears were the worst in the league with play action. Obviously they got to improve that offensive line, but if they can do that, how will that change the decision making of the quarterback? And I'm very curious to know what this guy can do for the accuracy of the quarterback. Caleb was up and down with his accuracy. It wasn't as good as I anticipated it to be before the year started.
Yeah, he's gotta see what's gonna fit for them, I think, I don't know. I haven't covered him. I haven't watched him up close in person in practice and talked to players, throughout an entire year. But I would imagine Ben Johnson's like most of the other coaches at this situation. They're going to evaluate what they have and come up with the best plan for those players. Like, you're not bringing in a rigid system that all these people have to fit to. So I think he's got to see what he's got. And you would expect them to be a lot more proficient at play action, probably to see more of it. I think we're going to be in line to see more pre-snap movement. There's a lot of elements to that Lions offense that made it special and made it hum. And I don't think we're going to see the exact Lions playbook. They don't have the same players, but you're going to see elements of it. They should be better. I mean, this should really benefit Caleb Williams. They better hope that it does. Because as I said yesterday, guys, I mean, he's got to get better. There's ground to close if they want to feel like they've got a franchise quarterback in place.
Brad, the report that Ben Johnson will bring Dennis Allen in as defensive coordinator was encouraging because of the experience that he brings. You wonder about Darren Rizzi, if he's not going to be a head coach somewhere, if he picks the Bears over some other opportunities. But is the connection with Dennis Allen through Dan Campbell? Allen and Campbell were teammates at Texas A&M. They have a long storied history together. Is that the connection, because there's no other crossover? And how do you feel about Dennis Allen coming in as the DC?
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen's a pretty well-regarded defensive coordinator and has had some success. And obviously, you're getting a guy who's super experienced, who's been in a lot of different situations as a head coach, both in Oakland and then New Orleans. And I think you could see I don't know how much of the Lions staff he's going to be allowed to bring with him. That will be interesting. Maybe no one from Detroit comes with him. Maybe it's one person we'll have to kind of wait and see. But the Dennis Allen addition would make sense if that's indeed what happens. And then I think, you know, you're going to be looking for some of those people that Campbell's had a background with previously in the Saints that might be members of that coaching staff. Darren Rizzi, most people tend to think he's probably headed to the Denver Broncos to reunite with Sean Payton as special teams coordinator. If he doesn't get the head coach job in New Orleans, he's expected to get an in-person interview for that job. There's some other people involved, Mike McCarthy. I think Mike Kafka is in that one too. But if Rizzi's not hired as the head coach, and that's a bit of a long shot, you're probably looking at three teams specifically. The Broncos, again, with the Sean Payton tie. San Francisco 49ers are working to hire a special teams coordinator. And then Ben Johnson and Rizzi worked together previously in Miami. And the Bears have interest. My money would be on Denver at this point.
Thanks a ton, Brad. We appreciate it. If he can only bring...
One more thing, guys.
Yep.
Rich, and if that happens, I think there's a better than decent possibility the Bears consider running it back with Richard Hightower.
Okay, oh, wow. Interesting. Okay.
If he can only bring one guy from Detroit, could it be Penny Sewell? Wouldn't that be? That's what they need. All right, buddy, thank you.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Brad. Good stuff. How about Aiden Hutchinson?
That would be good, too.
Can you pick one player?
He's injured.
That should be a rule.
Yeah.
If coaches change teams, you can pick one guy.
You can
guy.
Bring one guy.
Yeah.
I'd take Penny Sewell.
I would take Aiden Hutchinson. But it's a good debate.
It's a good debate.
It's fun.
All right. 312-644-6767. Who do you want for the – no.
What do you think of Ben Johnson as the Bears head
coach?
That's
right. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want your coach to be, like, offensive-minded, or you want him big picture?
I want him.
And then have the coordinators.
Like selfishly, I want an offensive-minded guy. So I can build with him and, you know, be with that coach for the next 19, 17, 15 years.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I wonder if Ben Johnson knows he just got a 17-year job.
Well, what's the size of the contract?
There you know,
what's the length of the deal that he signs with the Bears this morning when he is expected to be in town?
That's the voice of Caleb Williams. He was on the St. Brown Brothers podcast. So that's where the audio comes from, and it's fun. I mean, it's
tough weekend in Detroit because they are now dealing with the loss to the Commanders. They're losing Ben Johnson to the Bears, likely to lose Aaron Glenn to the Jets. That's the speculation and expectation. Now Dan Campbell regroups, tries to rebuild that staff because we know how things can get. They're trying to sustain a 15-victory season next year. And the Bears got their guy. And Caleb Williams, there are no excuses now. He went through a rookie season. I think everyone felt a little bit of empathy and understanding when looking at playing in a system where that had three different play callers or three different situations, three different head coaches, it felt like, from Matt Eberflus and the Thomas Brown situation and then Shane Waldron. A lot of things swimming in his head. Now, stability has arrived. Let's see what he's got now. That's going to be the fun part.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Omar is listening on the Odyssey app. Hello, Omar.
Good morning, gentlemen. I am the biggest Bear fan. California is not the world. Hey, real quick, been a Bear fan since 83, played football at Northwestern with Dennis Green, got a personalized Chicago Bear plate on my California vehicle, went to England, and vacations following the Bears. This is the most coveted coach in the history of the Bears, and it's the most exciting time, in my opinion, since the 65 draft of Sayers and Buckets. So when I look at the offensive alignment, it's the first time in the Bears' history that I can say the Bears potentially have the best coach in the division and potentially at some point in time, hopefully, the best quarterback. So there's never been a more exciting time, in my opinion, to be a Bears fan. And Christmas came early for all the Bear fans, finally. So go Bears. I'm finally excited to poke my chest out and say I'm a Chicago Bear fan. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
Thank you, Omar. Wow.
That's very positive. A lot of optimism. Yeah.
A lot of excitement. And need to point this out. Yesterday, when news broke that the Bears came to terms or an agreement with Ben Johnson to be their next head coach, it was 43 years to the day that the Bears hired Mike Ditka. Just saying.
I don't know what that means. What are you saying?
I'm just saying there is a historical symmetry that the most optimistic of Bears fans would want to apply to January 20th. Maybe the Bears hire championship-winning coaches on January 20th.
Every 43 years.
Every 43 years.
Go Bears!
Well, I think that it's fun to look at the day in history.
I'm sorry. That seems like a stretch, frankly.
It's fun little footnote.
Was a tight end.
Have you no fun in your life? Come on.
Who was a special teams coordinator?
You just heard Omar say it's the greatest day he's experienced as a Bears fan.
Yeah.
And now they have the best coach in the division, which is not true.
And quarterback.
Not true either.
Yeah.
All right.
I think there are good coaches.
It's a fun footnote. Don't poo-poo the Ditka link.
I don't believe I would call that a footnote.
What would you call it then?
You know, a bizarre coincidence has no bearing on anything.
All right. Well, it's fun. It's fun.
It's just a strange one. Oh, you know, on this day in 2045.
It's better than being hired on the same day as Matt Eberflus or Mark Trestman or John Fox or any of the other mistakes.
Have you checked all that?
No.
Because I don't know. I'm sure if you worked hard enough, you'd find something horrible that happened.
No, I'm a headline guy. And that I just looked at the first thing on this day. January 20th. And the headline yesterday was, Bears get their guy. Big Ben strikes in Chicago. Yes.
I don't honestly.
It's Ben Johnson time.
I got to call you on the Big Ben thing.
Okay.
Big Ben was called Big Ben because he was the size of an offensive lineman, right? Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben makes sense. But it's
Big
like
Ben is applicable because he's the big guy in the coaching search. He's the big fish, and they landed him.
Yeah, but it's like calling a guy Fat Albert because his name is Albert, but he's not overweight.
Well, I think that you could call him. What would you rather call him?
I don't know. Ben Johnson? I just don't think he's Big Ben. You know what I mean? Big Ben was a clock tower, and that was the size of Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben, comma, a long time coming. Okay. Just thinking headlines all for
right.
you.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Come
You're
on.
Right.
Yeah, my life in headlines.
I shouldn't be down
You're
on the headlines.
Mr. Poo-Poo.
Oh, no.
You're the poo-pooer.
Never. I'm completely clear of that. I would never do that. I would never talk about it publicly. Mike is listening on the Odyssey.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning. Well, I'm going to try and refrain from calling you David Hawley again so I don't get reprimanded. But listen, I think there was a lot of – somebody read The Art of War by Sun Tzu in the Bears office. There was a lot of kabuki theater, I think, going on, and this would make for an interesting movie. I definitely think that a lot of credit needs to be given to, I hate to say it, I'm not the biggest fans, but George, Warren, and Poles, we really need to give them kind of standing ovation for what they pulled off. And then I think expectations, we all as Bear fans need to set two big expectations. Last year, we were going to the Super Bowl. We were going to the playoffs. Let's just see what happens. And then number two, I know this is going to come up. There's going to be so many trick plays throughout the season, and we're the Bears, so they probably won't work the majority of the time. So we can't say, let's get rid of Ben Johnson when a trick play doesn't happen, because we're going to see a lot of them. Have a great day,
all right,
guys.
Mike, thanks, Mike. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call.
Do you? Because I'm still stuck on the Kabuki Theater reference. How was there Kabuki Theater? And what would that have to do with
Don't get caught up on the little stuff. This is big picture day.
I'm sorry.
This is big picture day.
That one froze me.
I know. That's okay. I saw you freeze, and I thought, all right, we lost him now.
Because I was thinking,
his point.
How is Chinese
his big picture point. Forget the Kabuki Theater. Forget the strained reference. Okay. His big point, and it's a good one, and it's one that we have talked about. Big picture-wise, this is the Bears doing something we didn't think they were capable of doing. We had skepticism that we referred to as earned skepticism.
Yes.
You really did not have the confidence. Neither one of us did.
No.
Throughout this process that they were aiming and headed in the right direction. We didn't know what they were aiming for.
Well, it was confusing.
It was.
But, they did do very well. They did get the hottest guy, and they got him as the second coach hired in the cycle, and they moved quickly. And, I mean, kudos to the Bears.
And I think it was more than just money. Now, that was the minimum. You had to be able to and willing to pay the top coach on the market what that meant.
Top dollar. Yeah.
Top dollar. $12 to $13 million. I didn't think they would rise to the occasion.
No.
So before we even got to the point where you wondered if Ben Johnson would consider the Bears and all of the problems that he now inherits – I didn't think it would be conceivable because the Bears, I didn't think, had it in them. And it wasn't because of, Kevin Warren and George McCaskey. It's just because of history. The weight of history was too heavy for us to consider this reality.
I considered the fact that they had to pay $9 million to Matt Eberflus and another, what is it, $4 million, or is it $5 million?
It's $5 million.
To Shane Waldron. I considered... I know that's sunk cost, but it was hard for me to imagine that they would double up on that money to pay for it.
$15 million in a mistake. Mistakes.
Yeah, it's
plural.
Really difficult to. Yeah. It just tells you this is a billion-dollar industry.
Well, Brad makes a good point.
And now they're running it.
Brad Biggs made a good point. You know, Kevin Warren has reshaped the front office in a way that he has wanted, in a way that has been expensive. And Kevin Warren is not in any hurry, obviously, to make the wrong decision in his mind about the stadium project where time is money. Kevin Warren is costing the Bears millions of dollars that you think that he believes is worth it, but he is a guy that where money does not seem to be any object.
I have a question.
Okay.
Does Ben Johnson realize that he has to meet with all these VPs?
On a weekly basis. Probably not.
I'm just being silly.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Something about the Zoom process did not dissuade Ben Johnson from making this choice. He never met with him in person. From all accounts, Mully, this morning will be the first time that Ben Johnson sets foot at House Hall. He has not met in person and yet agreed to take the job.
Didn't they give him the virtual tour?
They gave him the virtual tour. Can you walking through George's with a face up? This is where everyone. Oh, by the way, Ben, we have a collared shirt policy at Hallis Hall, so make sure you wear one on Tuesday when you come to sign your contract.
Joel is on the road. Let's squeeze in Joel. Hey, Joel.
Guys, how are you? Thanks
Good.
For a great show every morning. Appreciate it. Listen, I'm happy that they got the guy, but I take a more pragmatic view of this on his part, in that he's read the landscape. He's smart enough to know you cannot win without a quarterback, and this is the only potential quarterback opening with a team that has a potential upside quarterback. Last year, he missed the boat on Washington, and I'm like, they came up with the cash. Good for them. But I think this is more him looking at the landscape and going, if I want to be a head coach, I got to pull the trigger here.
Joel, that's a great call, and I think it reinforces the obvious thing when we're looking here. It's not about the concepts. It's not about the power base. It's not about the organizational hierarchy, who you're reporting to or whatever. It's about the player. Caleb Williams is the biggest reason Ben Johnson said, I want that job.
312-644-6767, gauging your reaction to the Bears, dare we say, hitting one out of the park.
Home run higher.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
It's been difficult to sit down and just study every throw, but plenty of crossover tape over the course of the year, and there's no question this guy's talented. I remember standing on the sideline last game and just you can hear the ball whistle by you. He's got quite a fastball and has some creativity to him, can extend plays and is accurate down the field as well. So, like I said, I haven't really dove in and can tell you much more beyond that, but he's been impressive from afar.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 the score. That is Ben Johnson, the new Bears head coach, who Dustin called Big Ben in the update, despite our conversation about whether or not he was really that big.
Texter would like him to be referred to as Benny the Bear.
I hope he's not.
I hope he's not.
Benny the Bear.
So we heard Ben Johnson back in December talk about Caleb Williams as an opponent.
Whistling.
Having the spirals that whistle by his ear. Now he can dive in to breaking down exactly where he is as a quarterback after a rookie season that was disappointing based on expectations, but encouraging in terms of giving him something he feels like he can win with and work with. That's exciting. Question I have for you before we get back to the phone calls real quickly. How would you describe the biggest difference now in welcoming Ben Johnson to the Bears as a highly sought after offensive coordinator and play caller with the Lions, and how that's different and maybe better, if you believe it is, than when they hired Matt Nagy with Andy Reid's stamp of approval coming from a playoff team in the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's a good question. I think that it's different because this guy has led the offense for three consecutive years, led them to a top five finish in points scored for three consecutive years. And is a more experienced play caller than Matt Nagy was when he had basically for half a year been a.
Isn't that the biggest difference?
That is the biggest difference.
Yeah. We knew that Matt Nagy was essentially an extension of Andy Reid, and you didn't know how much experience he had calling the plays when it mattered in crunch time.
Exactly. So, you know, Andy was the talent, the offensive talent on that staff, and the guy that put things together and that was a different type of offense where there was like a kind of volume playbook. They just took any play and they ran any play and they had everybody kind of contributing to that. I think this is different. And I think this is a guy that is kind of his own boss in that particular role. Now, the question with Ben Johnson is the same question that we talked about earlier, which is he a leader of men? How is he in front of the room? How does he communicate to the entire football team? And I don't know that we need a hard and fast answer on that. If he helps the offense,
we're not going to get one
quarterback. No,
we're not going to know until we know. We're not going to know until there's something that he has to deal with or confront.
If he has veteran coaches around him, they'll have ideas on how to handle different things. I get it. You know, you're talking about a defensive coordinator, if indeed it is Dennis Allen, who was 26-53 or something as a head coach. It's not, you know, you got a 31% win percentage, 330, whatever it is.
Well, as a head coach, we know that he's a good coordinator. He's much like Matt Eberflus. And it's going to be very difficult, whether it's tomorrow or Thursday, it will be difficult for Ben Johnson to lose this press conference.
No. He's won by being hired.
Regardless
being the
of the leader of men or how he commands himself behind the microphone, we'll ask Dave Wannstedt what that's like to go from hot coordinator to head coach and what that entails. But Ben Johnson will win the press conference, I think.
We have a lot of people offering nicknames online on the text line to Ben Johnson, none of which we can read. All right, let's try Bear Fan Joe. Bear Fan Joe is in Hinsdale. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. I saw on social media, I think it was last week, that Washington was on their way to interview Ben Johnson in Detroit.
Last year.
And once they learned that Ben Johnson wanted Sam Howell as their quarterback, they supposedly turned the plane around and went back home.
I don't think that's accurate.
You don't think that's accurate?
It's hard to turn the plane around. Usually you'd have to land and then have
I think what you saw, and I don't want to speak for you, Joe, but I think that there was a suggestion that Ben Johnson favored Sam Howell or thought he could work with him. But the story that I think we're familiar with is that he pulled himself out of the Commanders' coaching search because his wife was reticent in moving to D.C. in that area. We'll get more clarity on that, but I don't think that's a totally accurate portrayal of what happened.
Steve's on the road. Hey, Steve.
Morning, gentlemen. Can we hold our praise for Warren and Poles on the hire? Because I have no skills in hiring a head coach, but the entire league, all the fans, all the coaches all said to pick Ben Johnson. Bro, we know they might have just thrown $20 million a year and told him he could keep Keenan Allen. So anybody could have done that. It seems like it's a no-brainer. They hire Ben Johnson, and if he turns out to be a bad coach, they're not the ones that picked a bad coach. Everybody told him they should have done it.
Yeah, Steve, all I right, appreciate the phone call, but I don't know why you'd want us to go negative on this. I don't know that there's
– habit.
That's it. It would be out of habit. You question Bears' leadership and authority. I get it. The hierarchy hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt. But let's give them credit where it's due. They did this, and they pulled it off.
Coach Wannstedt joins us next. Mully and Haw on the score.